thought the heights were too high to climb. But people from Missouri never incensed me. Oh, I wasn't a bit concerned, for from history I had learned how many, many times the worm had turned. They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me wanting you, said I was reaching for the moon. But oh, you came through. Now they'll have to change their tune. They all said we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how. But ho, 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 who's got the last laugh now? They all laughed at Rockefeller Center, now they're fighting to get in. They all laughed at Whitney and his cotton gin. They all laughed at Fulton and his steamboat, Hershey and his chocolate bar. Ford and his Lizzie kept the laughers busy. That's how people are. They laughed at me wanting you, said it would be hello, goodbye. But oh, you came through. Now they're eating humble pie. They all said we never get together. Darling, let's take a bow. For ho, 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 who's got the last laugh? Ha, 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 we'll have the past laugh. Ho, ho, who's got the last laugh now?
Of all the boys I've known, and I've known some, until I first met you I was lonesome. And when you came in sight, dear, my heart grew light, and this old world seemed new to me. You're really swell, I have to admit you deserve expressions that really fit you. And so I racked my brain hoping to explain all the things that you do to me. By mere fist of shame, please let me explain. By mere fist of shame means that you're grand. By mere fist of shame, again I'll explain. It means you're the fairest in the land. I could say Bella, Bella, even say Wunderbar. Each language only helps me tell you how.
You'll just need to do the whole spiel of calling the meeting to order.
Okay, it is 6:03 and we are calling the Library Commission meeting to order, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag, of the United States of America and to the Republic, for which it stands, one nation
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, and can we go ahead and do the roll call?
Yes, Chair Goodman. Vice Chair Murr and Commissioner Callanan are absent. Chair Goodman?
Here.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Here.
Commissioner Drake?
Here.
Thank you. And then at this time, we have public forum. If there's any member of the public who wishes to make a comment on anything not on the agenda, let us know.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to any item on this agenda, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself at this time. I see no public comment, Chair.
All righty. Then let's move on to item A1, the consent calendar, and that's the approval of the Library Commission meeting minutes from Monday, August 1st. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you. And a second?
I will second.
It looks like that's how it's going to be tonight. All right. Can we have a roll call for the vote?
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
Commissioner Drake?
Aye.
Thank you. Our next item, B1, is the director's report.
Okay, so you'll notice that there's sort of a change of format in the director's report. This is for archival purposes. It's easier for people to look up my report in the staff report rather than in a PowerPoint. So from now on, my director's report will be in writing and I will read it out loud so that people can hear it if they don't want to look at it online. So I'm going to start with programming, and this director's report covers the period of July and August of 2022, because we were unable to meet in September due to Labor Day. So we'll start with programming, and the highlight of every programming year at the library, of course, is the annual Summer Reading Club. This year's theme was Oceans of Possibilities. There was a version of the club for children, teens, and adults. Ultimately, we had 944 child participants, 191 teens, and we didn't count the adults, but we did count the number of books that they read, and they read 756 books in June and July. There were weekly raffle giveaways made possible by the generosity of our more than 47 wonderful community partners, and we thank all of them for giving us prizes and gift certificates and all kinds of great things for our participants. Teen volunteers worked almost 900 hours at Goleta Library in June and July. They listened to youngsters talk about the books that they had read, and they gave them stickers and prizes in awarding them for their efforts. I think the teens enjoy that as much as the kids enjoy talking about the books. It's a really great intergenerational thing to see. Each week, special programs were held with a total attendance of 1,398 people. Sometimes we just clear the children's room and we have over 300 people sitting in to see a magician or a puppeteer or whatever the program is. Our stuffed animal sleepover was extremely popular and even gained the attention of the Washington Post, grabbing front page headlines and a full page story. The story on the Washington Post's Facebook page received approximately 15,000 likes. Mrs. Newsom, First Lady of California, posted it on her Instagram account. And we even found the article printed in a newspaper in Guam, of all places. So August is traditionally the month that the staff greatly minimizes the amount of programming that they have on offer, mostly because in the past, many families have taken August as the month that they travel. It seems to have been that this past August, there wasn't a lot of traveling going on because our numbers of people in the library were actually higher than in July. I'll give you that number shortly. But it gives staff time to clean up after summer reading, re-energize, reorganize, and start to plan the fall slate of programs. So the regular daily business of the library, there were over 15,000 visitors to the library during the month of July. 13,003 visitors came in August. The Book Fan had 384 visitors in July and 415 in August. A total of 1,108 new Goleta Valley Library cards were issued altogether in those 2 months. And that does not count the new Solving and Buellton library cards that were issued. In July, we circulated 37,640 items. This was an increase of 44% over July 21, when things were really still being affected by COVID. In August, we circulated even more. We had 39,094 items checked out, and this was an increase of 29% over August 2021, when things were starting to really show recovery. In terms of staffing, the City Council voted to give the library an additional full-time library assistant this year, which we were very grateful for. We opted to do an internal recruitment, as we have so many talented part-time staff members here. The position was awarded to a part-time library tech who was on staff. So this left us with two vacant part-time library tech positions, because we had one vacant position already. We also had two vacant part-time library aide positions after one of our most recently hired library pages resigned. So we needed to fill those positions. HR did a recruitment and interviews were held in September. At Buellton, there's an opening for a part-time library assistant, and Solving needs a temporary part-time library tech due to staff illness. In terms of collections, every public library must maintain a constant schedule of, we call it weeding, outdated and unused materials in order to keep its collection vibrant and viable. The Goleta Valley Library does this each year, but we're still running out of space to shelve the new materials that we will be receiving this fiscal year. Therefore, we purchased 12 end of stack shelving units for the adult book section that should allow for collection growth. And I've started shifting the nonfiction collection. I've gotten through the 500s in the last week and a half. The company from whom we must contractually order our books was the victim of a malicious hacker. The site was down for more than 2 weeks, so no one was able to order anything. But we were already behind in ordering due to the many issues with the new Koha acquisition system. So this put us further behind. We still have not placed our first order yet for this fiscal year, which started July 1. In my report, I said that as of mid-September, no Black Gold Library had successfully placed an order. That was true, but since then, thank goodness, libraries are starting to place orders. We plan to place our first order tomorrow, and I have my fingers and toes crossed that it's going to work. And after that, we will work on placing our audio-visual orders, which no one in Black Gold has even begun to think about doing yet because of Koha. The City Council approved our selection of a company from whom to purchase all of our audiovisual materials for circulation. Midwest Tape was our selected company. They will process all items so that when they arrive at the library, they'll be ready for circulation after we receive them through the acquisition system. And as I said, we hope to start ordering those soon. At our last meeting in August, the commission opted to recommend the collection development policy to the City Council. Interestingly, in early August, about a week after our meeting, I had an email from what turned out to be a Lompoc Library patron complaining about what she felt was an inappropriate children's book in the collection. It turned out to be a book that we didn't own. It was only owned by Santa Maria Library. So I referred the patron to her home library, Lompoc, and Santa Maria Library, because we're all responsible for selecting our own materials. So I really couldn't give her an answer as to why Santa Maria had selected that item. And so it was not really our issue to deal with, but it was very interesting that it happened immediately after we had had our discussion about the policy. So definitely it's happening. And actually at the Lemon Festival, where we had a table, someone came up to our children's librarian and said, "You're not going to be having any transgender events, are you? You better not." And so our children's librarian just said, "Well, we haven't discussed anything yet. I don't know." And he said, "Well, you better not do anything like that at the Goleta Library." So that was pretty discouraging. So, you know, we definitely are doing the right thing, looking at our policies and updating them. And you will be the body where, if there is a challenge, you will be the body that has to hear the challenge. So it's a good thing that we're going through all of our policies. And I thank you for all of your thoughtful suggestions during our collection development discussion. Okay, on to the building. The gate on the multipurpose room patio has been repaired. Roof repairs have been completed. However, as soon as that was done, it rained and a new leak was found. We need to have the trees trimmed away from the roof line. We plan to have the parking lot restriped. Parts of the workroom have been neatened and reorganized, and the Friends of the Library have purchased new furniture for all of the patios, which extends the amount of workspace we have available for our patrons, especially tutorial space for our tutors and kids. And they have wireless access out on the patio, so that helps too. And then finally, in terms of Black Gold, it's my year to serve as the Black Gold Cooperative Library System Chair. I run all the meetings and I'm the official signatory on all documents. The main issue continues to be the cessation from Black Gold of Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo. The California's PERS retirement system required Black Gold to pay this fiscal year's retirement costs, including Santa Barbara and SLO's shares. So we had to pay that, even though Santa Barbara and SLO are refusing to pay their shares. So Black Gold calculated out their amounts and redistributed them to the rest of us. As our budgets for fiscal year 22-23 had already been adopted by our respective cities, we opted to use Black Gold reserves to pay for the PERS bill this year. We'll have to rediscuss what happens next year during budget season and, you know, what happens with the rest of the items that Santa Barbara and SLO owe money on and how we're going to address that. So that concludes my report for this meeting, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions, Stephanie or Marcos? Marcos?
So there's a patron with a book at Lompoc Library that they were unhappy was in the collection, but they contacted Goleta Library about this?
Yes.
We lost your sound there for a minute. You froze.
I'm just wondering why they would contact our library other than maybe asking the question like at their own library where that disconnect happened.
Yeah, I wondered that myself when I saw the email. The patron didn't identify themselves as being from Lompoc and didn't identify the book as being from Santa Maria. They just said in your collection. So I had to do some research to figure out what this, where the patron was from and what book she was talking about, and sort of went phew when it wasn't ours. So I, you know, just sent her on to the appropriate libraries. And from what I understand, she really didn't follow up. They contacted her and they haven't heard from her. So I'm not really sure why she contacted us.
And then my other quick question was, were there any like good highlights from being at the Lemon Festival?
Yes, we made over 100 new library cards in the 2 days, and handed out a lot of calendars, programming calendars and brochures, and gave out a lot of information about the library. Heard a lot from a lot of people how much they love the library. It was really great. It's always a good time for us.
That's good. Thank you for telling me.
Sure.
Curious about the Black Gold obligations after this year. Are we still at risk of needing to cover Santa Barbara and slow going forward?
It looks like it, because these employees, you know, were responsible for their retirement benefits. And so according to the JPIA, the Black Gold JPIA, if you were a member as of 2008, you're responsible for their retirement benefits. So Santa Barbara and SLO were members well before 2008. They're responsible for a certain percentage of the retirement benefits, but they are claiming that they're not getting the documentation that shows what their percentage is, although Black Gold has provided that to them. But they're not paying any of their bills from last fiscal year's final quarter. So there were other things that they didn't pay as well, but we had to pay California PERS the total amount. So all of the remaining jurisdictions were asked if it could cover Santa Barbara and SLO's portions. And I did not feel it was appropriate for Goleta to pay for their part. So I voted no and suggested that we use reserves, but we can't keep using reserves. So it's going to be a question. We are working with an attorney who specializes in JPIA laws. And so we are looking into this for the future. And we're working on a new improved JPIA, which may not help. Unfortunately, the JPIA we're working with was originally established in 1964. And then it was updated in 86, but I'm not certain that's correct. The Black Gold director was told by California PERS that if Black Gold tried to become a member now with the JPIA that we have, PERS would not allow us in because the JPIA is just too simplistic. So it'll be interesting to see where things go, but we are pursuing trying to recover these costs.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, let's move on to item C3, the revision of the rules of conduct.
Okay. So when we originally had the city council approve our rules of conduct, we had them approve a whole bunch of policies in June of 2018, right before we took charge of managing the library July 1st, 2018. So we basically took the rules of conduct that we used when we were managed by Santa Barbara Library System and just sort of moved, you know, changed the wording so that it said Goleta Valley. Now we've had 4 years of experience running our library system and running Buellton and Solvang. And so we wanted to update this. We also, our city attorney is and our assistant city attorney are very cognizant of First Amendment issues and wanted to make sure everything was defensible in this rules of conduct policy. We also just wanted to do everything we could to make visiting the library a fun, comfortable, safe thing for our patrons and for our staff. We have had some incidents recently where we have had to get law enforcement involved. We had a rather serious incident with a patron threatening staff, and so we had to get an order of protection. So this is serious, and I do apologize for the report that we sent you, that the rules of conduct are all on one page. That is intentional because we want to have it as a document that we can hand out to patrons when they do break the rules, also so that we can blow it up and paste it on large construction board and post it around the libraries. So we'll just go through this basically verbatim, and you can stop me whenever you need to and ask me questions or, you know, justifications for why that information is there. So we post this all around the library and on our website. This has been viewed by the assistant city attorney. She and I argued a lot about it and finally came up with a version that she was comfortable with and I was comfortable with. So the rules of conduct. Welcome to the Goleta Valley Library. These rules of conduct are for the comfort, safety, and protection of all library patrons and library staff. Library staff will firmly and courteously enforce these rules. We ask your cooperation in maintaining an environment conducive to enjoyable use of the library for all. And I'm going to skip number one and go directly to no activities that disturb other patrons' use of the library are allowed. And these examples are provided as an illustration. This is not an exhaustive list. Any patron displaying any dangerous, destructive, or illegal behaviors will be instructed to leave the library immediately. Police will be called and appropriate legal action will follow. In addition to immediate removal from the library, a patron exhibiting such behaviors may have their library privileges suspended for up to 1 year, depending on the situation. The library reserves the right to limit the size and number of items brought into the library. And now I'm going to go back up to number one and go over the types of dangerous, destructive, or illegal conduct that we have listed. And these are all types of conduct that we have dealt with in the past. Physical abuse or assault, fighting or challenging to fight, making violent or threatening statements, and that can be to patrons or to staff, engaging in or soliciting any sexual act, damaging or destroying library property, stalking, bullying, or intimidating another person. So while at the bottom, we have a first violation, second violation, third violation, where the discipline is adding time for each violation. These dangerous, destructive, or illegal conducts will basically get you as up to a year banning from the library if we feel that is necessary. The police will be called immediately. We have panic buttons in two places in the library where the sheriff station, if we push the button, they know to immediately come to the library or we call 911. So those are the activities, but that is not an exhaustive list. So, but those are the main things that we have dealt with. So under number two, other prohibited conduct, again, not an exhaustive list. These are less heinous behaviors, but they are not allowed and will lead to progressive discipline. So failing to observe library rules or policies, and that's why we have this rules of conduct that we can hand out. We usually highlight the rules that someone has violated so that they can see what we're talking about. Number two is harassing, intimidating, or threatening any person in the library. Number three is leaving personal items unattended for more than 15 minutes. Unattended personal items are subject to the City of Goleta policy on lost and unclaimed personal property and abandoned property found on city-owned property. And that policy is on the city website. Four, failing to wear a shirt or top, pants or skirt, and shoes. That includes infants or toddlers. We're really concerned when children come in without shoes because, you know, there's all kinds of things that could be on the carpet and we only have the carpet vacuumed once a day. So we want parents to make sure their children are wearing shoes. Five, leaving children under the age of 9. Unattended by a parent or authorized person age 14 or older. So someone under the age of 9 can be accompanied by a sibling who is age 14 or older, and that sibling could be in charge of them. Blocking library entrances or exits with personal property such as bicycles, strollers, shopping carts, etc., or leaving animals unattended anywhere on library property. We've had people tie up dogs right in front of the library entrance, and those dogs have barked aggressively at people trying to come in. We can't have that. Seven is entering the library with animals other than service animals authorized by the Americans with Disabilities Act. And the only animals that are allowed are dogs and miniature horses. We keep hoping that someone will bring in their miniature horse, but it hasn't happened yet. Number eight, entering the library with bicycles. Nine is running, riding skates, roller shoes, scooters, skateboards, or any other similar devices anywhere on library property. 10 is smoking or vaping. Those are prohibited on library property. 11 is unreasonable interference with another person's use of the library or with library personnel's performance of duties. And this is where, if you remember, where we had a discussion a few months back about the First Amendment reviews of libraries where people are coming in and filming staff and asking them questions. That's fine. As government employees, we cannot not be filmed. If someone wants to film us, they can. But if it starts to interfere with our doing our work, that's where this policy comes into play. Number 12, entering areas designated for use by library staff only without permission is disallowed. And that's another way that some of the First Amendment folks have been trying to get into non-public areas, and they're not allowed to do that. We're a limited public forum, as you may remember. So not all areas of the library are open to the public. 13, fraudulent use of another's library card and or number for any purpose, including using another's library card to reserve or use library computers. We've had people steal other people's library card numbers so that they can have extra time on the internet computers. 14, photographing or filming people without their consent or for media or commercial purposes. As long as they ask for consent, it's fine, but they do have to ask for that. And that protects parents from having their children filmed without their consent. We never know what's going on in a family, and they may have a very good reason why they don't want their children to be photographed. Use of the public restrooms for an unintended purpose, such as laundering, bathing, shaving, sexual activity, or illegal drug use of any kind is banned. Possessing, consuming, or being under the influence of alcohol or illegal drugs. 17 is drinking, except for non-alcoholic beverages with a secure top. Number 18 is eating, except in library designated areas. Basically, we allow eating in any part of the library except for when you're on one of our computers. 19 is disturbing or annoying anyone with loud and or unreasonable noise, including but not limited to shouting, yelling, screaming, causing loud percussive noise, singing, using electronic equipment or mobile telephones, at a volume that disturbs others. 20 is sleeping in the library for more than an hour and a half. And that time may be strange, but that's about the time where we start to wonder, are they sleeping or are they unconscious? So the attorney told us 90 minutes is reasonable, where you can then go and make sure the person is all right. 20, petitioning, soliciting, or selling merchandise or services or setting up outdoor tables without written permission from the library branch supervisor or designee is banned. Refusal to follow reasonable direction from library staff. Having offensive body odor or personal hygiene such that it is a nuisance to other patrons' use of the library. This is the most difficult one for staff to enforce. It's terribly embarrassing for everyone, but sometimes it really can be an issue, particularly at the internet computers. Refusal to leave library premises at closing or trespassing at any time. And finally, carrying weapons of any type. So we ask, if you observe anyone violating any of these rules of conduct, please inform library staff. And then any patrons displaying these behaviors will be addressed in the following manner. The first violation, we give a verbal warning and we give them a copy of the library rules of conduct. As I said, we highlight whatever rules that they've violated. And the warning is saved by library staff in a designated file on the city server. That way we know if there's a second violation, the person's library privileges are suspended for 7 days. And the patron is provided with a report explaining the behavior and why the behavior violated library policy. The report is saved by library staff and is sent to the library director. We also keep track of this among the three libraries because people do tend to travel between. If they get banned at one library, they might think, well, I'll go to Buellton then and use their computer. But we do keep these records and make them available between all three branches. The third violation, library privileges are suspended for up to 1 year. The patron shall be provided with a report explaining the behavior and why the behavior violated library policy. The report shall be saved by library staff and sent to the library director. Exception: notwithstanding the progressive action described above, if a patron cannot or does not cease the behavior immediately upon direction from library staff, the library staff shall direct the patron to leave the library immediately and not return to the library until the behavior ceases. Now, we do allow patrons, if they get the third violation in their band for a specific, you know, long period of time, they can complain to me and they can explain why they feel that that period of time is excessive. And at that point, I would bring the situation to you and we would have a hearing. That person would be either, if we're having an in-person meeting, would be there, or if we were having an online meeting, would be online and would explain why he or she felt that the suspension was too long or shouldn't have been made at all. And we would give our perspective at the library. Library staff who were there during the incident would speak to you. And then you would deliberate, not publicly. You would go into closed doors deliberation, and then you would, at the next meeting, let your decision be known. So that's one of your responsibilities. So can I answer any questions or clarify anything?
I have a question.
Yeah.
In general, I'm someone who feels that laying out lots and lots of rules is demoralizing. And I imagine that all of these have been issues that have come up. So the rules are intended to protect patrons and your staff. And I'm specifically curious as to how your staff feel about this and whether they feel supported and protected with this rules of conduct, if it's doing
yes they had asked me to update the current rules of conduct that we have. They did not feel that it protected them, and as I said, we've had a number of incidents recently. Post-COVID, we're finding that the public tends to have a shorter fuse, and that civility is something that is not as common as we used to experience in the library. And staff has felt much less safe, and patrons have felt less safe. So this isn't a reaction to protect staff. This is a reaction to protect everyone, because we're finding that patrons are getting volatile and loud and upset much more quickly than they have in the past. And we needed to have these types of behavior listed so that we can just say, you know, excuse me, just so you know, this kind of behavior is not allowed in the library because it interferes with other people's use of the library. Our other patrons find it very upsetting when someone is, you know, we've had patrons yelling at other patrons for speaking too loudly on their cell phone, or, you know, breaking any of these rules. And they get very upset when patrons are berating staff. So it really is, it all boils down to that sentence: no activities that disturb other patrons' use of the library are allowed. That's really what it boils down to. Our patrons expect to come in here and feel safe and comfortable and not have to experience something that makes them feel agitated or scared. And we've definitely had more incidents like that since COVID than ever before.
So sorry to hear that. And if this is, if listing them out is what provides the tools to address it, I am, you know, so very supportive of the terms of the rules of conduct. Any other questions or comments?
And I will say, Lori, what we've found in the past is that when someone has lost control of their anger, and when we say, you know, I'm sorry, you have to leave until you can, you know, get control of your behavior, they're like, I want to see where that's written, that I, and so when we have it written, it is much more effective. It tends to soothe, calm things down a little bit, and it gives us the authority that people don't usually ascribe to a mainly female staff. So what I would like to do is get your approval, get a motion to approve this, and I would like to take this to the city council along with the collection development policy. We're looking at sometime in November because their schedule is pretty booked this month.
So I would like to make the motion to approve the library rules of conduct. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, Janet, you want to call for a vote?
Chair Goodman?
Aye.
Commissioner Aguilar?
Aye.
Commissioner Drake?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Staff will be very appreciative, and so will our patrons.
Great. Well, at this time, are there any future agenda items for next month's meeting? Oh, Janet, do we need to call for public comment? Okay, scratch that. Is there any members of the public who would like to comment? Please let us know.
If there are any members of the public wishing to speak to this item, please use the raise your hand icon and unmute yourself at this time. I see no public comment, Chair.
All righty. Now, are there any future agenda items from this group? In that case, the meeting of the Library Commission is officially adjourned at 6:47. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.